my one desire, that you would have your way. Touch me, Lord, and I won't be the same. So move in this place today.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, the captives are set free. As we offer up the sacrifice of praise, may your Holy Spirit free them as we pray. Hey, move in this place today. This is my one desire.
Just the one desire.
That you would have your way. Touch me, Lord, and I won't be the same. Just touch me, Lord, and I won't be the same. Please touch me, Lord, and I won't be the same. So move in this place today.
Amen, amen, amen. It's good to be in the house. You may be seated. I am so excited to be here tonight. So I was gonna save this for Sunday, but you know, from what's been preached, we may not even get a Sunday. So I might as well lay it all on the table tonight.
Amen.
So my mom just wanted to wish everybody here, God bless you, and happy holidays, Merry Christmas and such. And her and I got to talking the other day, and she said, you know, I wanted to give you a scripture, and this just reminds me of when I look at, you know, when we have our services, to see all of you doing exactly what this scripture says, it's just amazing. So I wanted to share it, you know, because I wanted to come, you know, like Brother Seth, he always got some kind of dish, you know. So I want to have a dish too, you know. So we're going to go to Acts chapter 4. And y'all know where this is. The old heads know exactly where I'm going with this. So it says here, let's see. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness.
Boy, that sounds just like us.
And the multitude of them, which is the whole entire house this evening, were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. And Pastor just was talking about that. I want to say, like, last Sunday service, he was saying, none of the stuff belongs to me. Everything belongs to God. So the fact that you would shut up your, you know, your bowels of compassion or your well of compassion, it's beyond you, you know? Like, you should be eating this word, and it should have a result, you know? And the result is love one to another. So I thought, wow, that's just right on time, you know. So, and then it says here, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And that just sounds just like us. I'm excited to be identified with this body, because this body is identified with every single word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So I am really, really excited to be here. And I want it. Oh, go ahead, sis. She's waiting. Oh.
I just wanted to get up here and say this today. God is God, and nothing can stop him.
Amen.
He is strong, and he made us. We can promise him that we always love him, no matter what. And if you really love him, you will obey his word. Amen.
Amen. Right there. Out of the mouth of babes. Go ahead, sis.
I'd like to sing a song. It's called Every Praise.
Amen.
Word of worship, what a chord, every praise. Every prayer is to our God.
Hallelujah, to our God. Glory, hallelujah, to our God. Every prayer is to our God.
God, my Savior.
God, my Savior. God, my
I've been thinking about my younger brothers and sisters. I am just so proud of them.
Amen.
You know, they listen to our pastor. They listen to their mother and father. I am just so grateful and thankful to be identified with my younger brothers and sisters. I'm so proud of you all.
Amen.
I am so proud. I just have to let you know that. And I just want to also just thank God. I mean, he has been dealing with me, and I definitely see the change. And I hope that the world see the change. I need God in my life. I love God, you know. And Pastor Moore and Brother Jeremiah and Brother Jay, I'm telling you, the five messages that has came through this pulpit, I'm telling you, it has changed me. You know, I'm just so grateful that I identify with this body.
Amen.
I have peace. I have the love. I have the grace. I have the support. I'm just so proud of my sisters. Sister Moore, you are just a beautiful jewel. You are a beautiful jewel.
Amen.
You know, I'm telling you, I appreciate you. Sister Dawn, Sister Mona, there's so many. And then all my brothers, all my brothers, you are hardworking men. You sit up there, you walk out there, you let the world know that you represent God.
Amen, sister.
I'm just grateful.
Amen,
I'm just grateful. And I just want to say one more thing. It's just been on my heart. You know, it's the ending of the year. You know. And I listened to Pastor Moore, my husband, and you know, he said, "Do I have anything else on your plate? Be ready." You know, I am ready. I am ready. I say this with authority. I speak boldly. I am Crystal Saxon, one of God's children. He loves me. He loves me. I'm just so grateful and thankful that there's a seed in me, and I have the ability, and I have heard the word. I know what the word is, and I'm just grateful. I'm just thankful.
Amen. God bless you, Sister Crystal. Brother Vegas, go ahead.
I'm so happy to be here. So my only desire is celebrating birthdays. So I want to give this to Nate, Pastor Moore, and it's a note. It says, "Happy birthday. I wish you a Merry Christmas. 25 cents, you're welcome."
never got a card like that before.
Kids are on a roll tonight. Let's sing We Fall Down.
Let me say a little something.
Go ahead.
You know, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, about all these, you know, it just, there's such an ease here, such a home. You know, we say this for years, you know, but there is such an atmosphere, a home here. And, you know, serving God's not hard at all, you know. I mean, through the ages, they've made so hard. But, you know, he came for one thing, just to bring grace and truth.
Amen.
You know, believe the truth, you got his grace. Plain and simple, you know.
It's too easy.
There's no living up to anything. There's, you know, his grace will cover everything else.
Amen.
You know. And, you know, if you truly receive his truth, of course, you try to hold to it.
Right.
You know, anything you love, you pull to.
Yes.
Love for the truth. And you know, just letting these children and everything, it's, well, why not? Why'd it take me so long? You know, just making everything out of it that it's not. But, you know, we're part of a body that's already redeemed.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like we're trying to get redeemed.
Right.
Already
right.
redeemed.
Already,
already married. Right. Already united
right.
with him.
Mm.
You know, I was thinking a while back about how that Brother Bram said that justification made a way for sanctification. Sanctification made a way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the gifts, restoration of the gifts, and the restoration of the gifts made a way for the Word itself,
Amen.
And the Word itself made a way for He Himself.
Amen.
And that's why Satan's not in my picture.
Right, right.
That's why there's no darkness around me.
Amen.
I'm a believer of the Word of God.
Yes.
And everything else just falls into place. You know, we face things in the world, you say, well, good days, bad days, this, that, and the other. That's just life. You know, you'll have them. As long as you live, you know, you're going to feel like getting up some days. Some days you feel like laying in bed. You know, feel like going to bed early, feel like standing up all night. You know, that's just life. That's just human nature.
Yes.
And, you know, and that comes and goes, and I really don't base anything on that.
Right.
I don't care if I have a good day, bad day. I don't give Satan glory. Now, the Bible says to give God thanks in all things.
That's right.
So if I go out here and buy myself a new car, I'm going to give God thanks for it. It's not God's fault. I bought it. But yeah, I'll give God thanks for it. I'll give God thanks for all things. Yes. I thank you for my life.
Amen.
I'm so blessed from one end to the other. You almost feel guilty because you got it so good. But truly,
amen.
I don't have a care in the world, and fear has nothing to do with me. I have no fear.
Amen.
You know, and it sounds like, just boasting, boasting, boasting. But it's just the way it is. It's just the facts. This is what the Word of God shows me. It's what the Word of God tells me. And I believe the Word of God.
Yes.
You know, I'm thankful. I've got my wife back here. I love her beyond.
Amen.
I've been thinking about her a lot lately. All she's come through, bore 8 children for me. One after another, after another, after another. After another, after another. I mean, is it? But lost track. But, my home, my family, you know, they're not here in church, but they're good, sensible people. They're not strung out on drugs. They're not drunks. You know, they're doing their best to get by in life.
Yeah.
And they all trust God.
Amen.
And in their way, you know, I've raised them the way I should raise them.
Amen.
You know, and they haven't forgot it.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful for these things.
Yes.
You know, and I just look, and I've just got nothing but praise.
Amen.
Because in all things, give God thanks. Amen.
Amen. It's good to see Brother Covey and the Coveys in the house.
Amen.
Love you, brother. I always miss you when you guys aren't here. Would you like to get up and sing or say something, testify? Yes,
sure.
We love to hear from you. You know it.
God bless you, brother.
Yeah, my brother Mike, he always pushes me out here, you know. Yeah. Yeah, just a little advice to anybody that's getting older. Don't retire. I tell you, you'll be 10 times busier than you ever was, and you'll be tired. You'll be walking around. But even if you're walking around tired, you know, the Lord still guides your footsteps, you know. Here it was just about 3 or 4 weeks ago. I was just so tired. I'd been out climbing on roofs and painting houses and retired, you know. And I just thought, man, I need a break. I just need a break. So sometimes being the boss, you can sabotage yourself, you know, to get a break. And so I thought, man, what should I do, you know? So I got this big fish tank, and I knew that this Myers, I don't ever go in Myers, but they have these new fish tanks, and I thought I'm going to go in there and get a couple fish. You know, they have some South African cichlids, you know. So I go in there, and of course, this is why I don't go in Myers, you never get service, you know. So I'm standing back there in Myers, and I see about a 20 by 30 foot square of brand new tile on the floor, and all these brand new aquariums and all these beautiful fish. And I start seeing the ones I wanted. So I'm just standing there, and I'm waiting, and I'm being patient. I'm finding out that patience is a virtue, you know. So I'm standing there waiting and waiting, and finally this fella come up to me at work there. He said, "Hey, buddy, I've seen you standing here for a while. You know, I don't know nothing about these fish, but let me go find somebody for you." So again, I'm standing in this big 20 by 30 foot area just on this nice, pretty tile. And next thing you know, I'm just standing there, and I feel a wheelchair roll up almost onto my foot. You know, I'm thinking there's plenty of room, you know. And so I kind of just look down, and there's this black lady. She's sitting in this wheelchair, and she looked really kind of relaxed and well-to-do, but a nervous wreck too. She's real blushy and sweaty kind of, and she just looked at me like she was nervous or something. And I said, "Can I help you?" And she just looked up at me and she said, "Sir, I've just been debating." I said, "Well, debating what?" She goes, "Well, I've been sitting over there. I live across the street, but I just felt led to come over here and kind of wheel around the store to have something to do." So that's kind of what I've been doing, you know, just having to want something to do. And so she looks at me, and you can tell there's a lot on her mind. I said, "Well, what is it?" She said, "I don't know if you know this or not, but I've been sitting way over there watching you for about 20 minutes, and you've been so patient. And there was this guy come up, and and said something to you, and you turned around and you just have such a peace about you, you know, and just Amen. Such a, and she goes, and then this is going to sound crazy, sir, but do you know you've got a light that's just above your head? You walk around, there's just a light above you, you know, and I just kept, it drew my attention to you and thinking, what is that, you know? And I looked at her, and I said, you know that peace about me that you see and that light above me? And I just leaned down to her. I said, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. Amen. Tears started rolling down that woman's face.
Yes.
And she said, you know, I know I come here for a reason because I would. Amen. And then she told me her life story, you know, of growing up in a drug house and being very abused, more abused than you'd ever dream. And then she said, you know, she got pregnant, had a little boy, and that was her life then, you know. And then circumstances happened. He passed away. And she said, and I didn't think I could live without that boy. But once he passed away, that Jesus you're talking about, he came to me, and he showed himself to me. And then I'm sitting there thinking maybe that Jesus and her was kind of seeing the light, you know, above me. And I just thought, wow, you know, you have not because you ask not. And maybe she is just asking the Lord, Lord, just lead me. I've said that many times. Lord, lead me, guide me.
That's right.
And that kind of reminds me of a real popular king. And I think it was actually Alexander the Great. And he was just had the power in his hands.
Yeah.
You know, power without character, you know, satanic. But this guy had power.
Yeah.
And there's a certain day that people could come and ask him for things. And so people lined up this certain day and come before the king. And this one guy came up and he said, Your Honor, King, sir, this is what I would like. And you can tell he had thought it all out. He said, there's 300 prime acres, you know, way over here over this mountain. And I want to farm it. So I want you to grant me 300 acres. And I want you to grant me oxen to pull the plows that I want to, you know, 300 oxen. And I want this and I want that. And I need helpers and workers. And then he named off wagons. He named off all kind of things. And this king, I mean, they're tallying it up like, man, you know. And all at once, as soon as he got done with everything he wanted, the king looked and immediately said, done. I grant you everything you asked for. And he walked out of there happy as could be. And one of the kingsmen, when he walked out, he said, I don't understand. I've been sitting here all day. The guy before this guy asked for the world, and you granted it to him. And the guy before him asked for two chickens, and you didn't grant him the two chickens. He said, well, you see why I did that? That man came in and asked me for something that only a king could ask for, or that only a king could grant. You know, a poor guy out there could give him the two chickens.
Wow.
So tonight, the king is going to be right here talking to you.
Come on. Amen.
Ask what you will.
Yes, 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 yes.
And ask something that only a king can give you.
Uh-huh.
I can give you something, but I can't. My limit is this. But ask. You know, you can have the greatest doctor that specializes in cancer, and he still can't heal you. You got to go above him. So just remember, if a king sees that you're special enough, he'll grant you everything that you ask for.
Amen.
And just make sure it's something good. Oh, I tell you. And
right.
I tell you, but, you know, the plows and the fields, and I guarantee you that was going to feed a lot of people.
Yeah. Right.
And it was going to help a lot of people.
Only
so,
a king could give that.
Yeah. I'm glad to be here tonight.
Amen.
I've missed you guys a whole lot.
Oh, we love you.
And time just has a way of just going.
Yeah, it does.
And then once it goes, it's gone. You know? And
Amen.
We're almost in 2025.
Oh,
and
and
I have really dropped the ball, you know, just on, you know, having some meetings and things. And but I thought, man, and you can ask my brother, I've tried to get over here the last 4 weeks, you know, and it's either sick or busy or grandkids or you know something like that, but I very much thank you guys, and I'm glad to be here tonight.
Amen,
I'm
amen.
Expecting something really good
yes,
tonight.
Yes, yes, you came to the right place.
Amen. Let's sing All Hail King Jesus, key of D. Something only fit for a king that can give you what a king can give.
All hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's the Almighty God.
Last one.
I made it. You know, I was just sitting there and I was thinking how thankful I am. You know, this might be my last time to testify before the end of the year. You know, we've got a few things going on. I don't know if I'm going to be out here. And I just thank God so much for how far I've come from the beginning of the year. You know, I was just thinking this world, it just grows strangely dim. These things Amen. Just don't matter. That final voice, it was so amazing to me because it's so close. Every time I think it's so close, it just gets closer. You know, and I realize we're not going. It's my mind is what's changing. You know, it's not like it's going to be some big thing. It's just going to be a little tweaking in my mind. And it's going to be just as clear as when you were standing there and you said, oh, the trumpet already sounded. You know, like it's Simple. Just that clear. It's like, okay, that actually makes sense. I get that. You know, thank God for that. You know, I thank God for the children because, you know, like you said, why not? They have the same God.
Sure.
Brother Moore gives me a chance to testify just as much as he gives those children a chance to testify. You know, like, it's not, I have anything better to say than them, you know? And I thank God for their willingness, you
Amen.
Know? Levi wants to share his voice with the body
because
he knows that every talent he has is for God. And thank God that he sees that. If that's his first revelation, you know, thank God for that. I thank God for what he's done in our life, you know. I don't care what happened today before I got through the door. You walk in here and you see the words and you hear the songs and everything is just different. I'm just such a blessed woman. I was sitting there and I was like, I don't think I have anything to say. Thank you, Lord. You know? I have a lot to say because I know a lot of things. And I was thinking, it's so simple. It's just believe. You know, all these other things are amazing to learn, to know, to Elohim, to us. You know, that's amazing. My only job is to believe, you know? Like, if I can just believe in every word he says to me, I believe it, I do it, you know, I manifest it. It's that easy. You know, it doesn't have to be hard. You know, I think about that all the time. This is not hard. I love this. This is a peace, you know? This is my life. You know, I've built my entire life around this. And I don't want another year to go, you know? Thank you, God. It's my, you know, like I said, it's just, I'm just so full. You know, I just sit here and I thank God for what he's done for me. It's, you know, and I was thinking too, I was texting Jeremiah. I was like, do you need me to plug in your Bible? Because if I plug in this Bible, I know he's preaching, you know, and I get excited. So let me just say one more time, thank you for giving me a man who puts God in our home. You know, if I don't have the answers for my children, I know where to find them.
Amen.
And it's so easy. I just have to sit here and be like, okay, what's the answer? He'll say, this is what God told me. And I'm like, oh, phew. That's easy.
Amen.
Like I keep saying, it's easy. You know, like this thing is so easy. And I just thank God. And I don't want to be, you know, come here to the most amazing place in the world.
Come on.
You know, and not be excited and not say thank you. You know what I mean? Not bring something. I'm not going to come to a party and not bring something. That's selfish. That's not right. That's lazy. And I don't do lazy. You know, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it to the very, very best of my ability. So, you know, just thank God.
God bless you, sis. You know, and that's the thing. You just believe. And there's a lot in only believing. If you just believe, everything else will come. It just follows right after that. Because that's the basis. That's the one thing you have to do. You have to believe. And you can only believe if you got a receiver. And thank God he gave us all a receiver. So by way of announcements, this weekend... This next coming up service is the Christmas service at 6 o'clock, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. And then also we have the New Year's service, December 31st. We are having special New Year's with Pastor Rosaldo, Brother Rosaldo Evangelista. He'll be here, and he'll be here through the 29th. And then we've got Kentucky coming from Elkton, so I can't wait to... have these brothers up here because it's been too long, you know. And Sunday morning. So, I second everything he just said, and just be paying attention to things as they roll out. So. God bless you. We're going to sing no service on the two Wednesdays that are coming up. Next Wednesday and the Wednesday after that. Okay. Now. Thank you. I need all the help I can get. Let's go ahead and sing Eyes on the Sparrow. Key of A, and then we'll get him up. God bless the testimonies.
Tell me why should my heart feel
discouraged?
Tell me why should my shadows come?
Why should the heart
ask yourself.
And long for heaven and home.
Amen. Jesus.
When Jesus is my portion, my God. and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. I sing because I'm happy, and yes, I sing because I'm free, for his eye is on the sparrow, and I know. Watches over me, and yes, I sing because I'm happy, and yes, I sing because I'm free.
God, we are so thankful for everything you do for us. Oh, if you know about the lilies in the field and you know about the sparrows, oh, how much you watch over these little ones of yours, Lord. And oh, we're so thankful for what all you've done for us and how much you watched over us, how much you protected us, and how much you provided our needs. And Lord, we thank you for another opportunity to come here tonight, have another service, Lord, to hear from you, to fellowship with you. Have your way with the rest of the service, Lord, and thank you for the Covey brothers here coming tonight, Lord. We ask that you bless them, Lord, and thank you for the spirit of fellowship that they bring. They've been a blessing to this body, Lord, and we ask that you continue to bless them. And Lord, be with this body here, Lord. You know the needs, Lord. There's been some prayer requests, and oh, we've been seeing you move so mightily for us, Lord, and we know that it's so easy for you to just... like a snap of a finger, and you make these things happen. And we're standing on your word where you said, by your stripes we're healed. Thank you for everything you've done, and have your way. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask, amen. You may be seated. It's good to be back tonight and fellowshipping around the word of God. And good to see you all. And I've grown up with y'all. You know, it's true on one side of the coin. It is a true statement that on one side, I'm not here to see anybody. You know, I'm here to get the word of God, whether you're here or not. But I do have a love for this body. Because on the other side of the coin, I'm glad to see you. We're in the battle together. And this is home. You know, it's where we can let our guards down a little bit and be ourselves and fellowship around the word and act a little crazy to the world, so to speak, but we don't really care what they think anyhow. This world's not worth enough to fit in with, you know. It's not. The popularity of the world, it's short-lived. It will not last forever. And that's the one thing I always remember, you know, you go through school and you're so worried about being popular. And you get removed from that spirit of that for just 2 or 3 years. You look back and you realize that none of that matters. The same people that were trying to be popular, trying to figure out how to survive life, and how to find a career and how to get a job. And things aren't as easy as they were when you're just in high school, you know. Oh, you know, on one side, you know, the spirits that you deal with in school now are worse than we've ever fought before. And God bless you children for fighting that. I don't envy you in that regard. And it takes this word in this hour to fight that and overcome that. And the greatest thing you do is come here to the house and get some word preached to you. Listen to your parents at home and their instructions. That's the thing that helps you and helps you get through. Amen. There's no better prescription I can give you than coming here after you get a little bit of crazy put into you by the world. You know, I've been here a long time, and I think it was Brother Childers, I'm paraphrasing. He used to say, you know, the world's going to teach them, so you got to teach them at home. And so this is the best thing you can do right here. Amen. You go out there and face that crazy world, but here's what's good about it. And I really mean this. This ain't made up. The greater is he that's in you. Amen. Greater is what we have. Yes. Greater is what's on our side than what's against us. Amen. Because I really believe that. Maybe for my first 10 years of this journey, I thought the devil had a chance. But I don't think he has a chance anymore. And I recognize we're flesh, and I recognize there's temptations, and I recognize he talks to us, and I recognize there's evil spirits going to doubt and seeking who they can devour. But I also recognize the Bible says put on the whole armor of God, which is what you get here, so that you can withstand the wiles of the devil. The best thing you can do is to come here and listen to this word of God. The best thing you can do is come here and relax a little bit. Just relax. Just let it go and let God talk to you. And if all you understand is 5 words, thank God for those 5 words and put them to use in your life. And I guarantee you, I'll put a guarantee on you'll whip every devil that comes your way. Oh, you apply this word to your life, the devil can't stand you. He's no battle for you. When God asks you to do something, I promise you, you follow that instruction, oh, you'll be a blessed person. Oh, I don't care what the world thinks about you. I don't care what they try to tell you is popular. You listen to God, and God will see you through everything you need to get through.
Amen.
You'll be the one standing up here saying, I was 8 years old when I was going to church, and I was barely paying attention. But I paid attention just enough to get a new birth. And I've never been the same ever since. And from the day I was born until now, I'm 44 years old. I've never seen the seed of God forsaken or begging for bread. I've seen him take care of him every single time. Oh, just stay with this thing. Stay the course. Keep up the fight. Hang in there. I don't care how hard it seems to get. I don't care how much the devil tells you you're down. You just crawl back in here if you have to. Let's grab onto my arm and let me carry you in here if that's what it takes. Let me help you in here. And it ain't just these four walls. What it is, it's the word of God. It's a safety place. The devil's not welcome here. The spirit you're fighting's not welcome here. Depression's not welcome here. Condemnation's not welcome here. Not fitting in the world and feeling bad about it's not welcome here. You fit in here. I don't care how silly you think you are. I promise you, you fit in here. You love God, you fit in here. You believe the word, you fit in here. You love this God and believe the prophet, I'm your best friend. You love this thing, you won't ever go hungry. That's what the Bible tells me. You will never go hungry. It's a promise by God. And I'm not here just so I don't go hungry. I'm here because I really believe this word. But I'm here to tell you this word does something for you. It provides something for you. You know, it's something you can stand on. Stability. And the older you get, you'll learn to appreciate that more and more. So we're thankful for everything that God's done for us. I don't remember how I got started on that, but it's the truth anyhow. Devil will fight you and God will get you through everything. You know, and what's so interesting about it is I can't make you do that. And not that I'd want to force you to do anything anyhow, but I can't live that for you. I can't believe it for you. You got to do that for yourself. You got to choose you this day whom ye will serve. Now, what I can do is give you the truth about it. I can encourage you. I can tell you the way it's going to help you. But at the end of the day, you've got to be the one that chooses to do it. You got to be the one that gets up and testifies. You got to be the one that gets down on your knees and prays. You got to be the one that opens the Bible and reads it. You're the one that's got to get here on Sunday and listen to the pastor preach to you. You're the one that's got to get here on Wednesday when you're tired and listen to somebody preach to you. You got to do that for yourself. If you don't want it, I can't help you. And it's not me helping you. This word can't help you if you don't want it. Because all I'm giving you is the word, and this is the greatest thing I can give you right here. But you got to want this, and God's got to reveal it, and then you got to take it and apply it for yourself, for your life. And if you apply it to your life, I promise you, all the things I said and everything I'm about to say and everything this Bible says will come to pass in your life. I have more faith in that tonight, and that's just more revelation understanding that than I ever had in my life. Because God's preached to me quite a few years. And faith cometh by hearing. You keep coming here and letting God just talk to you and reveal himself to you, you'll keep growing.
Amen.
Oh, you know, sometimes when I say we grow, I've been in this message a long time, and people come with so many crazy doctrines. They'll make that man growing in you, a theophany, all this stuff. And I said, people made this message so hard. They just messed this thing up. They've made it so much harder than it needs to be. You're going to grow in this thing because you're going to eat. You're going to eat the Word of God. And you're going to learn more about this Word. And this Word is what helps you overcome everything. And the more you eat, the stronger you're going to get. And the more you understand, the more you can use to fight the devil. So keep coming back. And let Him reveal Himself to you. And then you'll be like Brother Justin's up here. Saying the devil already ain't in my picture. I see Jesus so much that he's not even in my picture. And so I want to be like that.
Amen.
So I don't want to be up here too long, but I want to just make a few points. And so if you have your Bible, turn with us to the book of Exodus. And I got a couple scriptural places I want to read here. I think you'll actually enjoy the reading. In Exodus, the 13th chapter, and we're going to start there in verse 21. And this is talking about the children of Israel as Moses was leading them out, you know, and taking them, trying to get them to the promised land. And the Bible says, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." God was with them. He was before them. He's around them. He's protecting them. He showed them many signs. He showed them many wonders. He'd done everything under the sun to prove himself to this group of people. Now we're going to the next chapter, and we're going to start with chapter 14, verse 10. "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Murmuring and complaining. And so verse 13, And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not. And Moses starting off strong. Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. So Moses was talking by revelation, talking by the commission God gave him, because he knew God had sent him to deliver the people out of Egypt. He had that revelation. And then let's go on. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Now listen to this next verse. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Now my title tonight is Why Cry? Speak. Amen. And you know, this Bible reading here is an interesting story, and Brother Branham preached that message, entitled it, Why Cry? Speak. But you know, you read this story, and you have the prophet of God, Moses, commissioned by God, told that God was going to be behind him and everything, and all the way up to that point, getting them out of Egypt and all the miracles God had to do that. You would think the people would not have doubted him. That he was going to get them through Pharaoh chasing after them. But what I see here is two groups of people. And I want to point out a little bit, and we're going to talk about the good group mostly because that's us. But I do want to point out something to you is that you got to believe God's word. Yeah. The Bible says, and Brother Moore read this Sunday, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Amen. And Brother Branham taught us very clearly the evidence in every age has been the people that could recognize their day and its message. Hear the word of God, believe the word of God, and punctuate the word of God with an amen. There's many ways we've said it, but being able to believe this word of God and say amen to it, that's what God has always wanted from his people. He wanted somebody that wanted his word. Because if you want his word, you want him. Because he is the word. It's that simple. And when you don't believe this word, though, it's quite the opposite, Brother James. See, in a little bit, you know, Moses eventually did speak to this thing, and the waters parted away, and the people crossed over, and they got away from Pharaoh because there was a believer there that followed God, and God took care of them. But God's not obligated to an unbeliever. He'll leave you sitting. He's not worried about those that aren't his own. Now, God's not willing that any man should perish, but those that don't believe his word, they're not his, and he's not worried about them. I'm just here to tell you that people may not like that. Now, wants to say we have a merciful God. We know God gives us grace and love and mercy. He's full of mercy. But he wants you to want him. If you don't want him, he don't want you. Now, I'm trying to be fast here because I'm going to give James some time tonight, but Numbers, the 14th chapter, you can read that. Those same group of people that followed Moses, those same group of people that murmured and complained to Moses, God got tired of them. And I just want to bring this to your attention because I want to show you that you either got to follow God or you're in trouble. And I ain't trying to scare you. I'm just giving you facts. Because these same people that murmured and complained to God and didn't believe God, because the true fact of it is they weren't believers. They never were believers, Brother Moore. Because, you know, it wasn't even good enough to come out. You got to go in. You got to do both. You got to come out and go in. But they weren't real believers. Some of them are like Judas. You can go a long way. But don't get all the way to the upper room. They weren't real believers. And they didn't want to follow God. They murmured. They complained. They didn't get with it. They stumbled and were slow on the instructions of God the entire way. Every turn Moses would take, they'd complain. Every direction Moses would tell them, they would ask, why is it going this way? Instead of just trusting God and saying, wherever you lead me, I'll follow, they needed a why for everything God said. You know, when you first start here, you sometimes are asking whys. Why does it work this way? Why does it work this way? How does this thing work? So there's nothing wrong with that. But you know, there comes a time. Had you been coming here for a while, and God's talked to you after a while, and you see Him show up time after time and answer question after question, there's got to be a time when you stop asking so many whys. You just need to say, Lord, what you say is what I believe. Where you lead me, I will follow. And these group of people, they weren't even the start. They're not like you that started with whys and stopped having whys. They never stopped having the whys. Why Moses? Why Moses? Why Moses? You know, you had preached, and Brother James pointed out one time about the difference between Moses' group and Joshua's group. And what's so interesting, you need to go read Why Can I Speak, Brother James, because Brother Branham preached it. He separated Moses and Joshua for a minute. He said, here Moses was crying to God, and when Joshua got to his river, he didn't cry out anything. When he needed a sun stand still, he didn't ask God permission for anything. He knew what he was sent to do. But this group of people followed Moses. They didn't believe God. And God said, I'm done. I ain't going to make them serve me. I ain't going to make them be a preacher. I ain't going to make them be a singer. I ain't going to make them be a helper. I'm not going to make them be a believer. I'm not going to make them be a church cleaner. I'm not going to make them be in the choir. I'm just making it real to you. I'm just bringing it home to you. God ain't going to make you do anything. If you don't want Him, He don't want you. You don't want to serve Him and do what He asks you to do, He'll skip over you. God ain't too big on waiting around. I'll just be real honest with you. I'm going to say He's not too big because there might be a scripture somebody brings to me where He waited on somebody, but I can't think of one right now. God ain't too big on waiting around. He wants you to get with it. He likes somebody to turn quickly to the Word of God. He likes somebody to just say amen and follow Him. That's what He wants. The whole problem Eve had was just one word. God wants somebody to punctuate every word with an amen. But those group of unbelievers, before I leave them, God said, okay. This is how much God was not going to wait on. He said, you're not even going to get to the promised land. You're going to die right here in this wilderness. And you know that's what happens to anybody that doesn't want to follow God. I'm just being honest with you. And what's good about it, if this shoe don't fit you, which I don't believe it does in here, you ain't got to wear it. You're going to wear the other shoe here in a little bit, the believers. But I just want to make you realize that God will skip right over you. You don't want to follow Him. You don't want to do what He's asking you to do. You don't follow His instruction. He'll raise up a whole nother generation. He'll raise up a rock. Because what He said, it said, okay, this ain't the generation to do it. The next generation is going to do it. I'm going to wait to see who's going to follow me. I'm going to wait to see who's wholly going to follow me. Only two people in that generation made it. Joshua and Caleb, wholly followed the Lord. Those are the only two that crossed over to the promised land. God said, you don't believe my word. You don't hear my voice. I'm still on the voice, people. I'm going to tie this to the voice. You got to listen to that voice. You got to follow that voice. It's the voice of God talking to you. It's the voice of God giving you instructions. And God wants somebody that's obedient to His instructions. Full obedience to every word of God entitles you to the token. And if you don't want to follow God, you don't want to get into this thing, you don't want to sing, you don't want to get with it, you don't want to clean, you name it, you're the thing God's asked you to do. I'm here to tell you, you've got to find somebody else to do it. He'll raise a rock if He has to, or I tell you what He'll sometimes do, He'll raise somebody sitting right next to you. Somebody that wasn't even doing it. Somebody out of the blue, Brother Destin, will pop up and do exactly what God asked you to do. And now you're too late. Now somebody, it's somebody else's job now. God's already moved on. So you need to follow God as He asks. You need to do what God asks you to do when He's asking. You need to get with it. Get with the program. Don't tell God no, tell God yes. He can send away your day of grace. Well, we understand that better now than we ever have. Understand the fact that it's us choosing to serve God. God not making us. That's what that ties into. Now, we know how foreknowledge works. We know how predestination works. If you truly are predestined, you're never going to be lost. But I'm here to tell you, God saw before you ever is here what you were going to do with it. You chose to serve Him or you didn't. And if you don't choose to serve God, you're none of His. That's how this thing works. But moving on, I'm just telling you, God will ask you to do something. He'll talk to you. That voice that Brother Moore talked about Sunday will speak to you. And, you know, God will understand that there's growing pain. I'm not acting like God ain't got some patience. He's long-suffering. Thank you, Brother Moore. God will work with you. I got plenty of stories where he's worked with people. But there comes a time. You don't do it, he'll skip you over you. He'll move to the next person. He's going to get the job done. You know what, we've said that here. Like, God's plan ain't going to be messed up by human beings. God's plan is not going to be messed up by your choice. Your choice is not going to stop his purpose from happening. Your choice is not going to stop his goal from occurring. God will reach his goal. God will have his final plan with or without you. And so I just want to point this out to you, because sometimes we can get in our mode that says, well, I'm just a child. It's almost like if I'm predestined, I'll be there. Well, if I'm a child of God, God needs me. I'll go in here. God ain't going to leave me behind. God will leave you behind. He'll leave you right behind. He's asking you to sing, and next thing you know, somebody else is singing for you. He asks you to preach. Next thing you know, you've never preached a sermon in your life. He asks you to clean the church. Next thing you know, you never even make the list anymore. That's how fast God will leave you sometimes. He's long-suffering. He'll work with you. He'll teach you. He'll try to guide you. He'll try to help you. He'll even do it 2 or 3 times, 4 times for you. He'll give you plenty of chances. Then after a while. All right. I'm just using Brother Dustin to listen to him, but you ain't doing it, right, James? I got something for you to do. What I want you to realize is God's the gift giver. You know, he's the giver of the gift. You think you got the gift. God's the giver of the gift. He's the one that gave the gift. That's one thing different. Gifts are given by God. He don't make you serve him. But if it's going to be a gift, he's going to give it to you. Because that's him helping you. If you're going to preach, I'm going to give you the gift. If you're going to do this, I'll help you with that and give you the gift. But God will give you a gift, but don't think you're so special. If he gave it the first time, he can give it the second time. But God expects you to follow him. Expects you to say yes. He'll work with you, go along with you. But Numbers 14, you read it, he told that group, you're not even going to see the promised land. Right. Your children will. That's right. In other words, I'm skipping over a whole generation. Yeah. You don't want to serve me, I'll skip over a whole generation. Yes. Wow. You want to play games, think you're predestinated, can leave this church and maybe come back, God will skip over a whole generation.
That's right.
That's what he'll do. Amen. He'll raise 8 years olds up and 10 years olds up, and you'll be 30 years old and he's moved on. Not even talking to you anymore. I ain't trying to be mean, people. I'm just trying to give you what the Bible teaches. He did it before. Don't be shocked when he can do it again. You don't follow him, he'll move right on. He'll let you learn now. Oh my, I've learned plenty. I've ran some, I've learned some, I fell down plenty. The trick of those, I have gotten up. I learned. I turned around. I repented. So you can repent. Oh, every one of us can repent. The zeal of the hour. To say, I'm wrong. Lord, I'm following you. Sorry I didn't follow you the way you wanted me to. I'm sorry I didn't move fast enough. But today's a new day. I'm your man today, Lord. I'm the one you want today. I'm the one. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Use me, Lord. You can pray to him. Even if tonight you feel like he let you, just pray. Ask for his forgiveness. He can show mercy. Just say, Lord, I'm sorry. But I want to be the one you want. I want to step up to the plate. Forgive me for turning you down the first time. I don't want to ever do it again. He can give you mercy. Full of love, mercy, and grace. Because I know I'm on one side of this baloney right now. I'm on the tough side. But it's still the truth. But I can flip it over for you. Oh my, I'm up here talking big, but trust me, I needed a lot of that love. I needed a lot of that mercy. I needed a lot of that grace. I've been the one running before. I've been the one falling on my face before. I've been the one saying, Lord, forgive me for not moving fast enough before. I promise you, I've been in those shoes. I just try to make a point to you. You can do that for so long. You can go so long and turn God down so much, you'll move right on. And move to the whole next generation. I don't want that to be me. I'm a believer. Now let me get back to the other group of people. I'm like Moses. I'm like Joshua. I'm like Caleb. I want to wholly follow the Lord. And I am. Because the holy following the Lord truly is believing every word. Because human beings can't keep every word. Our desire should be to keep every word. Our desire should be to do the best we can do. Our desire should be to live the best we can live. Our desire should be to do anything God asks us to do. But I also know we're human. We're not going to be able to keep everything. If we could, we wouldn't need Jesus to die for us. But Jesus paid it all. But Moses, now let me get back to the other point of this so I can get down and give James some time. Now we talk about the believers. Joshua and Caleb, when you read Numbers 14, they didn't fall in the same category. Matter of fact, it separates them out very nicely. I'll paraphrase it for you. All you ain't going to the promised land but Joshua and Caleb. The rest of you, we're going to march 40 years until you waste and die. And then your children are going to raise up and see it. And Joshua and Caleb. That's basically what God told them. You don't follow me, you murmur and complain, you ask why about every single thing. I'm going to move on to the next thing. And you know what? But the Joshua and Caleb group of people, they stayed with God the whole way. They weren't the ones asking Moses why this or why this. Why we got to do it this way? Why we got to do it this way? No, they just were believers.
Amen.
And that's what we are tonight. Amen. Oh, you know you're a believer. Amen. You know you amen the word of God. You know you love God. You need to rejoice tonight. You're not the group of people he's leaving behind. You're the group of people he's taking to the promised land.
Amen.
But the point I want to make, believers, follow that voice. Believers, follow God's lead. And believers, say amen to every word of God. Brother Branham was talking, and he was talking about Moses here. He said, this is a nice example for us. And I just was chuckling because I've read this book before. Just tell you tonight, I've been busy this week. I'm actually old school. I ain't got notes. This is the notes tonight. This is old school stuff tonight. But I was reading this week, and I'd read it before. But it's amazing how present tense God brings things. Here, everybody remember recently God saying, sometimes we're waiting on God. God's waiting on you. Wait till I read something for you. You're going to like it. It's in here. Even not too long ago, there's a Joshua group and a Moses group. And I ain't got time to read that, but it's in here. Because Brother Branham, he said, here Moses was, commissioned by God. Knew God had sent him. God had been with him all the way. Anything he said, God was going to back up. And he paused and started crying to God. What are we going to do now, so to speak? And then he said, now Joshua, on the other hand, he said he didn't cry out. He just spoke.
Yeah.
Knew his commission.
Yeah.
Knew what he was sent to do.
Yeah.
Knew what God had told him to do. Be strong and courageous.
Yeah.
Take the land.
Yeah.
I'm with you everywhere you place the face of your foot. And Joshua believed every word of that. And because he knew by revelation that God had told him that, he wasn't afraid to speak for anything he needed, Brother Destin.
Amen.
Anything that was helping that commission that God gave him, he knew he could do it all. Sun stands still. Water part ways. March around seven times, and on the seventh one, blow all your trumpets. He knew what God told him to do, and he just moved forward. And every one of his followers, you don't find where they murmur and complain. You don't find where they ask why around every corner. Blowing the trumpet might have sounded crazy to him. Blowing the trumpet probably sounded silly to him. Going to walk around seven times and blow all of us to the seventh day. But they didn't ask why. You know what they did? They walked around seven times that last day, blew those trumpets, and sure enough, those walls come tumbling down. Because you got to follow that voice. You got to follow that leadership. You got to believe every word. And I promise you, God will take you through and bring to pass everything he promised you.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, we're living in an age
Now, I'm not here tonight to tell you tonight I'm going to speak something. We're going to get out of here. But I'm going to tell you this. This is what point I want to make. We're living in an age.
Yeah, come on. Right.
This is the time that we got to be like that.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the time when it's not time to cry out to God. Oh, I can read your quote. Brother Branham put himself in. He said, aren't we a lot like Moses? He said, we're a bunch of babies.
Come on.
He called us babies.
Yeah.
He said, we're commissioned by God.
Right.
We've seen him bless us.
Right.
He even tied it to the third pull. He said, God's shown us all these signs, shows us all these wonderful. Where should we be tonight?
Amen.
Where should we be tonight?
Right.
Knowing where we stand, knowing what God showed
That's
us,
right.
knowing what the voice told us,
yes.
knowing where the final voice
right.
is.
Amen.
Why are you waiting on God?
Right.
Speak and go forward is
yeah.
what God wants us to start thinking about.
Right.
He wants us to believe that so much that, wait a minute, we ain't trying to just wait on Him.
Right.
Speak and go forward.
Yeah.
Act on what you believe. He's going to apply that to your everyday life. I know, you know I'm talking about the rapture. There's coming a day that we're going to get out of here. And God's told us we're going to get out of here. And this bride's going to call for it. And I promise you it's going to happen.
Amen.
But until then, in your everyday life, if God told you to do something, just speak that thing and walk out on it. And God will bring it to pass every single time.
Amen.
That's what God wants you to do. Brother, I mean, I don't have to, you know, if you had a chance, it would be good for you to read. Because I can't, I don't have no time to read it. But Brother Branham was trying to say, all the stuff that he brought, God brought him through. God was a little bit fed up, like, why are you crying? Did I not bring forth lies? Did I not bring forth and kill the firstborn? Did I not do any plague you asked me to do? Did I not send you down there with just a staff in your hand? And Pharaoh could have killed you the same day, and he didn't touch you? Did I not talk to you out there with a pillar of fire? Did I not tell you my words will be in your lips? And you're going to cry to me? Moses, you know what I sent you to do. Speak. Go forward. Stop crying to me. The final voice is in you, Moses. My voice is your voice. My words are your words. Oh, that's what I want to repeat tonight. The Spirit and the Bride say come. Oh, now, I ain't talking about just man's words and man's lust and worrying about this world and just because I want something in the world. I'm talking about this according to the Word of God. By revelation, the prophet taught us, the Bible taught us, that the Spirit and the Bride, the God and the Bride have the same voice in this age. That the final voice to the final age is in the Bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're much further down the road than 1963, but 1963, Brother Brad said, we're babies. Well, I can say here now, I don't feel so much like a baby. I'm not a baby tonight, Brother Moore. I'm ready. Lord, send me. Just tell me it's the time and then we're going. I'll, you know, so to speak. But it's going to come by this preaching. It's going to be another revelation. But he ain't so much wanting us just to wait on him. In the sense of, Lord, 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 Lord. He wants to recognize who we are. And step out on that thing. And move like we know it's going to happen. See if I can find this. You've got to bear with me here. Because I do want to read it to you. But because I didn't print it out and copy the paragraph, I got to find it. It's all good, so I'm going to start here and we'll see where we land. He was talking, what a lesson, oh my. At this stage of the journey, where we are standing, look where we are now. Yes, sir, at the third pool, notice, we're right here at the door of the coming of the Lord. He was anointed for the job, and still, now this is, want something? Now listen to this. He was talking about Moses. He was anointed for the job and still waiting for thus saith the Lord. God must just have got enough of it. He said, don't cry anymore, speak, I sent you.
Yeah.
Oh, God, what this church ought to be this morning. With God's perfect vindication with the pillar of fire and the signs and the wonders and everything, just like it was in the days of Sodom. He said it would return back. And here the world's in the condition. This nation's in the condition. The woman's in the condition. There's man in the condition. There's the church's in the condition. There's everything. The elements, the signs, the flying saucers, everything in the sky and all kinds of mysterious things. And the sea of roaring tidal waves. He was talking about tsunami, so to speak, back then. Man's heart's failing for fear, perplexing times, distress between nations, the church falling away. Man of sin rising up. And God has sent us his true word. undenominational, no strings tied to it, gives us the pillar of fire of the Holy Ghost and been with us now for 30 years. And everything he's predicted and said has come exactly to pass.
Yeah.
You know, we can say the same thing. Everything he prophesied in the book of Revelation has come to pass. God's fulfilled everything. Speak to the people and let's go for it. We got an objective, and that's glory. Let's move to it. We're heading to the promised land. All things are possible to them to believe. Speak to the people. Haven't I proved it? Haven't I even my picture made among you and everything else? Could it be done? I'm with you. Doesn't the magazine just a few weeks ago pack the article and you said here at the pulpit would take place? He's just trying to say, God has showed us everything he needs to show us. He has nothing else to prove to us. He goes to talk about Joshua. He said, Joshua didn't cry. He said, son, stand still. No crying out. He spoke, you stand still and hang there. But that point I wanted to make, he said, Moses, you're anointed for the job. And he was still waiting for thus saith the Lord. But Abraham said, why was he waiting? On God. You already got it. You already commissioned.
Amen.
I'm tired of it. Don't cry anymore. Speak.
Right.
And here recently, I can tell God's been talking to us. And he's reminded us that the final voice is in us. He's reminded us of everything he's done. He's been with us from the beginning. That bride all the way through watched over us. There ain't been one thing he prophesied that hasn't taken place.
Amen.
Now, we understand God's his prophet. We understand the churches are over.
Yes.
We know that we're in the bride age, the eighth day.
Yes.
We know the seals have been opened. The thunders have told us what they mean.
All the
mystery is no longer sealed and hid. It's been opened.
Yes.
The prophet said, I don't see any other scripture needs to be fulfilled, but the rapture. We know all these things.
Amen.
He said, just wait for that group that gets in perfect harmony.
Yeah.
Then the rapture will go. I always read that fourth seal quote where he says, wait till that group, those seven thunders under that group, they can take the word and slice and cut. They could call for 100 tons, billion tons of flies. Because what they say will happen because it's the word of God.
Amen.
Coming from the mouth of God.
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, people, there's coming a day. This bride's voice, God's voice, don't separate it, are the ones going to speak.
Amen.
The ones that are going to speak and move forward.
Amen.
And it won't be so much. Because there's a quote in here. He says, isn't it like people? We're always waiting on God to push us. That's the one I really love. It's in there. He's like, we're always waiting on God to push us. We want to be pushed by God and God to give us some confirmation. He said, God's given us enough of that. Speak and go forward. And I was listening to God preach on Sunday telling us that voice is in us and we're the final voice to the final age. That means there's not another voice coming. Final one's here. Yes. You got to tie it all together. Yes, revelation comes by God. Yes, God will give us the revelation of when it's time to go. And yes, all that, God will have to do all that. But the point Brother Branham's trying to make is we're still waiting on God to do something big. Got to do some other step. Got to try to open up another seal or send another prophet or do another miracle. We're waiting on something big. When he's done all that, and he's told us very clearly who we are and what we're here to do, and what's so good about it, and I really do believe, we're the ones with the faith, rapturing faith, that's going to step out on that. Just like Joshua. Sun, stand still. There's coming a day, people, where this bride's going to say it's time to go.
Amen.
And we're going to get out of here, brother.
Amen.
Why cry? Speak. Step out on it. Move about it. No, I'm the one that sent you. I'm behind you. Your voice is my voice. I'm not coming to call for the rapture. I'm calling through the rapture through you.
Amen.
That's how this thing's going to work. That's how type of believer God wants.
Amen.
That's the kind of believers he's got.
Amen.
Oh, I know I talked about those unbelievers a little bit, but let me just say this a little bit. We're believers in here.
Amen.
You know we know that, people.
Amen.
You know we know that. I ain't calling none of you that unbeliever.
Uh-uh.
But you got to know for yourself anyhow.
Right.
We're believers in here. We trust
Amen.
God. We follow God. And we are much further down the road than we were in 1963. We have much more rapturing faith, so to speak, stronger in it. I'm not saying there's more it came, but just stronger in understanding it, brighter to us, understanding stronger than we've ever been. I actually go to church with a group of people, and I see them in Bluffton, I see them in different places that really are crazy enough to believe. that we're going to get out of here. I watch us preach. I watch you send me a video. I was watching somebody preaching with confidence. God's in the bride. Devil has no place here. We're going to get out of here. We know who we are. This is the whole purpose of God coming to pass. Oh, we're bold. We're like Joshua. Be real honest with you. I'm just waiting for the day. Not so much a push, just waiting for the permission. Give me the permission, and I'm ready to go. Give me the permission. I'm ready to do it. Because that's the other thing we know. You can call for this shirt to be brown all you want. If God didn't tell you it was going to be brown, it ain't ever going to turn brown. God's got to be behind it. But what we know is God's behind this. He's behind this message. He's behind this word. He's behind this voice. See, that was the other thing, and I got to get down. He was behind Moses' voice. If you go back and read Exodus 3, I think it is, or Exodus 2, I think it's 3, he told him, my words are your words. I'll be with you. I'll put my words in your mouth. I'll back you up. Because his voice is him.
Amen.
That voice is in us. You know what that means? God's behind our voice. He's behind our word. He's behind what we're calling for.
Amen.
Oh, little bride, don't cry too much. Speak. Amen. Final voice to the final age is here.
Amen.
Oh, that's exciting to me.
Yes,
oh, I always like to say, I'm not trying to make it happen. I can't make it happen. I'm not even here tonight saying the nice tonight just because I'm saying it. But what I'm trying to point to you is what Brother Moore was saying Sunday. We've been waiting on God, and God's like, why are you waiting on me? I've already sent you. I already told you you're the voice. Why are you crying? You're the final voice to the final age. And one of these days, just when he gives us permission, we're the ones that's going to have to call for it. The bride around the world. It's going to start somewhere. And we're going to get out of here. That's exciting to me. Brother James, come on and edify us a little bit more. God bless you, brother.
Amen. Well, God bless Brother Jeremiah. So God was behind Moses. Brother Jeremiah is behind Pastor Moore. And I'm behind Brother Jeremiah. I'm ready to give whatever I got. Appreciate that, Brother Jeremiah. Hit the ground running. Good to see the Coveys. Love you guys. It's exciting to be here tonight. It's beautiful. You know, talking about that final voice, it gets me stirred up because that means there's nobody else going to talk, right? You know, that's it. You know, you sometimes you go to movies or whatever. I don't know if many people go to the movies, but, you know, I don't want to put anybody's business out there. But sometimes at movies, at the end of the credits, they play something else. And you're like, is this ever going to be over? There's something else after that, and then something else after that. This is the end, people. This is it. You know, you think about that, and I thought, my goodness. You know, Pastor Moore even said something. He said, you know, God has the ability to get tired of repentance. You know, I think he read over in the book of Jeremiah, he said, you know, God can get tired of that. He can grow weary. That's what he said. I've grown weary of that group that keeps forsaking me. Brother Jeremiah was talking about those two groups. There's one group that keeps constantly murmuring and complaining. And there's another group that just, amen, Lord. Yay and amen. Yay and amen. Holy following. And I thought, you know what, you know, you're talking about even the young people, and I'm not going to be up here long, but I thought, you know, this service even vindicated even that message. It proved what he said he was talking about. So you ain't got to go far to see that God skipped a generation even in here. Right? We can bring it as home as you want to make it. As close as we can get. In here we get to see the proof of that. Who knew Levi was going to sing? He got tired of waiting for people to sing. You know, yeah. A lot of times people come in here and think they got such a great voice that we got to have them. I don't have to have you. You don't got to lead the song. An 8-year-old can lead a song. A 10-year-old can lead the song. We don't even have to have you to sing songs. We don't even have to have a song if you think your voice is that important. Oh, I gotta hold my testimony. A kid will get up and say, well, I got one. I wrote it down and I'm prepared. I'll read it then since nobody else has something to say. I know we're at the end of the year. I know you got tired and all this junk, but God can raise up somebody else. Oh, and that gets me stirred up when you start talking like that because I look at myself. Now, I got the mic now. I can brag on myself a little bit, and I expect you to brag on yourself. But when I think about raising up a rock, I was the most stubborn person you could think of. I was the most hard-headed, backwards, bad kid you could think of. Look at me today, Satan. Woo! This rock is a shiny penny now. I'm believing. You can hear me now. Oh, were there other people that walked with me? Yeah.
There was a lot of people that thought they were more revelated. There were a lot of people that acted more holy. But every time I fell down, I just got right back up. Every time life hit me, I just got back up. Every time something came my way, anybody hurt my feelings, I just got back up. I mess up, I just got back up. And I can look around at the generation of people that were with me. They didn't get up. I'm the proof that they didn't get up. We went through the same things they went through. I went to the same schools they went to, faced the same spirits they faced, had the same embarrassment they had. But I just kept getting up. You just kept getting up. When you talk about a year of dedication, I'm the proof that I'm dedicated. Because you can see me. You see me still serving God. Oh, that was the proof of Joshua and Caleb. Oh, they went through the same problems everybody else went. Went through the same plagues everybody else went. Same wilderness everybody else went. But they just kept staying with the word. That's what we do here. Oh, while the rest of the world is in darkness, there's a group that's in light. Oh, it's Goshen in here. Woo, that gets me stirred up. You know when that happened, Jeremiah was talking about those plagues. I love to talk about those plagues. Because when you talk about those plagues, what happened when that darkness came? Now we ain't got time for it, but darkness came. When it, darkness came over there, it was for 3 days. God is the greatest tactician, scheduler in the world. But anyway, that darkness was heavy. Now for us, for context, you think of like fog. Like that's just the best context that we can have right now. But it was so foggy, so you could feel the darkness. It was so much of a feeling that you couldn't go out. You couldn't go anywhere. It was so dark and so feeling of the dark, you couldn't even leave the house. But there was a group of people that the light shined all around them. There's two different groups there. There was a group that was in total darkness, couldn't see, couldn't do nothing, couldn't move. But then there was another group. This group, sitting in full light, can talk, can move, is free, can see everything. Ooh, that's this group. Oh, my. See, he prepared that group. Now, I don't even think I'm going to read it, but over in the book of Revelation it says, let us be glad. He's prepared a place for this group. Oh, he's talking about the promised land. He prepared more than just the promised land for me. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. If it wasn't so, I wouldn't even tell you. I want you to know my promises before I even fulfill them. I want you to have something to look forward to. So that you're not like the rest of the world that has no hope, that doesn't know what's going to happen. This group, matter of fact, he said, comfort one another. Who are we supposed to comfort? Who's wanting to hear from us? Who actually even wants to be comforted? Who wants to go where God really is? This group does. Oh, we love this thing. We're sitting in full light in this hour. We're spoiled. Yeah, we are. In love. God loves this group. That's the difference. The two groups. One group God loves, and one group God hates. And the feeling is mutual. They hate God. Don't act like it's not a two-way street there. They don't want God. We can say God's here, and they'll say, nah, I ain't got time. I can say, God can fix that. Nah, I don't believe it. I can give them a guarantee. Gave them a guarantee. And they'll turn it down. Still don't want it. So don't make it like it's one-sided here. God is not that anybody should perish. Woo, 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 woo. We rolling.
Amen.
Brother Jeremiah was over there in Why Christ Speak. Let's go back over there. Real fast. Because he was talking about Moses. And there's a quote over in there, and I'm going to pull it up, over in Why Christ Speak, that had me thinking about this, and I thought, man, let's bring that out. Because, you know, he's talking about how Moses was anointed, and he didn't ask God why anymore. He was anointed. Now, Moses as a man got frustrated with the people. He got frustrated with the people. He didn't doubt God could do it. He just got frustrated dealing with those people. It was such a dark, neurotic age. Uh-oh. Sounds similar to now. Sounds like today. It was so dark, and the people just couldn't see the Word of God moving at all. Food was falling from the sky. There was a light guiding their path. Everything was taken care of. Their shoes didn't wear down. Their clothes didn't wear down. Everything has been provided in every step of the way. Why? 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 How long? Did you bring us out here to die? Because
You know what they said even when he read that quote? They said, were there not enough graves in Egypt that you brought us out here to die? Now, they got freed 400 years to the day. The plagues they got to witness. The light they got to witness. The food they got to witness. All these things. And I'm looking at this and I say, guys, we've seen cancer healed. We've seen transplants. We've seen life. We've seen babies. We've seen marriages. We've seen healing. We've seen mental illness. We've seen depression. We've seen financial wealth. We've seen blessing on blessing on blessing on blessing that we can share with people and tell them. And no matter what we tell them, they still don't believe it. I can tell them. I can say, you know, you mind if I pray for you? I've seen cancer healed. You can pray, but I don't think it's going to be healed. It's cancer. And I'm like, no, I've seen it healed. No, I've seen it healed. I've physically seen cancer taken away. I've seen somebody have the report that says cancer's here on the lungs. And the doctor has to go back and say, I don't see it anymore. And you know what they got to do to help themselves sleep? To doubt God? It must have been an accident. So it must have been something on the screen. Now you're telling me the radiologist that went to school for 8 years accidentally saw a spot? The lab tech that went to school for 4 years accidentally saw a spot? They'd rather say that than just believe that God fixed it. Amen. Just believe that God healed you. Just believe that God made a way to take care of you. That's the world for you. That's that group. Don't be like them. Let's be like believers that we are. Ooh, woo. Let me read where he said that. Because he said, I'm trying to move fast here. Then why Christ speak? Paragraph 55. He said, Moses, he saw the glory of God. There was no more questions to Moses. Do you ever notice that? He never run in the wilderness again. He knew he was anointed. We know that we're anointed. And, you know, even Brother Branham said, he said, every time God sends a message, it's considered golden. You know where I'm going. Every age when God sends a message, it's considered a golden age. Because you're getting a message directly from God. It's considered golden. You know where I'm going. As dark as it is in this hour, as terrible as life is, so to speak. Oh, Brother Jeremiah was talking about the young kids in school, and I thought, you know, when we were in school, or a little bit before we were in school, it was fire drills was the worst possible drill you could do. It was like, this could be a catastrophe. If we had a fire at school, you got to know what to do. Then they progress a little bit. Tornado drills. If a tornado happened, it could be a catastrophe. We don't even do fire drills and tornado drills because we got to worry about active shooters, right? That's a real threat. That's serious now. I'm just showing you how progressively worse life has gotten. But as bad as it is, as horrible as it is, Brother Jay, what age would you want to live in? What age would you want to be a part of? Oh, let me live in this, not that golden age, not all those other golden ages, this golden age. Ooh, that's what Brother Branham said. He said, I want to live, he thought about it, thought about all the things that could happen. And this is over in the Invisible Union when Brother Branham said that. Like I said, saving time. You guys can go over there and read it. We got all the references there. But over there in the Invisible Union, they said, you know, what age would you like to live in, Brother Branham? This golden. That's why I wanted to make a distinction there. Because each age is golden when you get a message from the Lord. But which golden age would you want to live in? This one. As dark as it is, as neurotic as it is, as lost as they seem to be, I'm marching to Zion. I'm headed to the promised land. That was the difference between those two groups. One group was going in, and one group was just circling the wagons. One group had a promise, and the other group had a promise from God that they weren't going to go. This group, this Joshua and Caleb group, wholly follows the Lord, whatever he asks. Oh, my. I'm so thankful to be the bridegroom. You know, it's so close now. And I was thinking, because even Sister Elise said it. She said, you know, you think it's close, and it just gets closer. It just gets closer and closer. And I thought, it's like a kiss, right? Like, come on now, we're adults. Don't act like you ain't kissed. Don't pretend now. You lean in. You lean in. He's leaned in. Now I've leaned in. It's so close I can feel the breath. That's how close it is. Right? Before it was like, I don't know where he is. Whoa. Getting close. That's how close we are. That's why we can say, is this service it? Is the next service it? I don't know. Because what it's going to be like popcorn like you guys talked about. The temperature's right. The grease is right. The butter's already melted. I'm just waiting to see one pop. It might be me. We're all in the same pan. I'm just waiting. Oh, the rapture's going to go because we're calling for it at every service. Talk about waiting for permission. We're still calling for it every service. Brother Jeremiah was calling for it. Pastor Moore's been calling for it. Brother Don's been calling for it. Everybody's been calling for the rapture. We're not waiting for anything. It's on display now. The bride has already made herself ready. So there's no more getting ready. You know, we talk about getting ready. I'm ready. I'm on my feet now. I start the music. It's time to walk out. It's time to start. Just march me on out. I got all my garment on. I got my gown in white. I know who I am. I know who I am. I'm Mrs. Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people that read the Bible that don't know who the bride is. Oh, my goodness. Now our church is so different. Let me just say this for a second. Thank you, Brother Vegas, for making Pastor Moore's a big deal. Appreciate that. There are some churches that when the pastor has a birthday, they cut the whole weekend. They'll have singing for days. They won't have him preach. They'll bring in guest speakers to talk about how great he is. Yeah, big chair, orange juice and ice cold water, and just lording over the people. Talk about how great I am again. We ain't got to preach today. Just keep talking about how great I am. That's other churches. In our church, every testimony was a... Let me keep this quick because most important thing is the word. Happy birthday, but let's get to the word. Bring the gifts out another time. Send them to his house. Mail him the card. Get to the word. You can tell him at dinner, but get to the word. That was every testimony. Hey, he's been the same yesterday and today and forever. Let's wrap it up. No more songs. Next testimony. I love Pastor Moore, and I want to hear him preach. That's this church. We're different. We're different. We're all together different. We only want the word. That's all we're here for. That was last Sunday. You didn't get nothing. Your birthday's tomorrow. We done moved on. And he's happy about it. You got a quarter. Praise God for that. Put it in your luggage. Take it with you to India. It's 5 rupees maybe. But I'm just saying, we skip right over these things so fast. That's our church. That's who we are. When you want to know what we do, we believe the word. And I love how Brother Jeremiah said it. You believe the word, I'm your best friend. I'm your best friend. I care for you. I got compassion for you. I want you to do well. I'll sacrifice for you. That's why I know you won't be hungry. Because when I eat, you eat. When I get something to drink, you get something to drink. When I get some soup, you get some soup. We're a body. That's how I know you won't be begging for bread. Because it's a group effort now. You get some many-membered body. Oh, when Jesus was here, you had to wait on Jesus to break up the loaves, to hand it out. But now you got a whole body out here just passing it out. Passing out. You can't go hungry in here. But praise God, we're thinking about those two groups. Thank God I'm in a group in the light. That I can see what it is. That's why I even love how I even titled that. Why Christ Speak? It's the voice of God coming from the mouth of God. That's why it's going to happen. Oh, that great creator power is here. It's here. All that God was, he poured into Christ. It didn't stop there. All that Christ was, he poured into us. Does that make Christ less? No. I know how math works now. God's math is, it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. As powerful as God was when he poured it into Christ, God was still God. Everybody's heart still beat it. The flies still batted their eyes. The fleas still need to do what they need to do. The earth kept spinning. The sun kept coming up. Even when he poured it all into Jesus. Still doing the same thing. But then when he poured it in us, Jesus still had his job. And now we have our job. It don't make us any less. Oh.
Amen.
Saints, we're too blessed to be worried about what's going on out there in the world. We got too much goodness to be talking about. That's why I love even coming into church. It gives you an opportunity just to relax. This world goes so fast.
And even when we talk about, and we talk about, we looked at this the other day, me and Brother Jeremiah, talk about even when Joshua stopped the earth, it moves at like 1,000 miles an hour. To stop it, that'd be like the worst car accident in the world. Right? 1,000 miles an hour? That's like taking a jet right into the middle of a mountain. That's how fat, that's, that didn't happen though. When he stopped it, God made it stop. It made everything stop. And here's what I love about that. Joshua didn't have to stop fighting, though. He still had a job to do. See, a lot of times you want the sun to sit still, but then you don't want to keep moving. Sun, stay still, but let me do my job. That's what you need to be able to do. Joshua still did his job regardless of the circumstances. Matter of fact, that's what he looked at. He said, I need more daylight to get my job done. Son, you got to stand still so I can keep working. See, that's why I like even Sister Elise's testimony. I ain't lazy. I don't want to stop working. I want to get my job done. Then I want to get out of here. I don't need a break. I'll break when it's over. Let me get out of here, and that'll be my break. It's the marriage supper. See, a lot of these Christians, these so-called Christians, get lazy. They get tired of waiting. When is God coming? Is God real? Why did God send us here? No. I'm a believer. I've been anointed for this. I've been built for this. I'm never going to get tired. See the songs? Sometimes people sing that song, and I'm not tired yet. I'm never going to get tired. I will never get tired. I'm so strong, I will never get tired. I'll never get tired. Never. See, I like to throw that in Satan's eye. Because even when I think I'm tired, I know I got enough to get it. I'm not too tired for the rapture. That's all you got to do is sing that a little bit to me. Get me in the right frame of mind. I'll stir up myself by way of remembrance. I'll remind myself of my own testimony. That's what I'll do. Sometimes I shake myself with my own words. Brother Jay, you said you could do this. And I look, I say, you know what? I'm right. Let's keep moving. That's how I look at this thing. It's the word of God coming from the mouth of God. I speak to myself sometimes. Come on now. That's what the song says. You got to encourage yourself. So as we go into the end of the year, I think it was only fitting that we got to hear from Brother Jeremiah. I think it was only fitting that you got to hear from me. End of the year. As we wrap this thing up, good to see the Kofis. End of the year. We started the year with y'all. We're ending the year with y'all. I praise God that we wanted to come here at the end of the year. The rest of the world is on holiday, trying to do this, trying to get out of work. We're saying we still got a job to do, brother. We still got work to do. Oh, my, my, my. Thank you, Brother Jeremiah, for that. God bless you. Pastor Moore.
Song says, I don't feel no ways tired. Come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road was going to be easy. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. He ain't going to wrap this up on a humble. The same way he did every age is the same way we're going to get out of here. We're going to get a body change, and we're going to be just as bold and bright as every age.
Amen.
We didn't just accidentally do this.
No.
Oh, no. We know who we are.
Amen.
The bride knows what to do with the word.
Amen.
We know what to do with the word now. We didn't for a long time. But now we know. We know. Yeah, I love about the book of Revelation because when Brother Branham came and he was used by God to open up those seals, that was the time that God stopped worrying about the groom. He stopped talking about the groom. That whole book of Revelations was hidden until the opening of the seals. We had no access to the revelation of the entire Bible until the opening of the seals. But when the seals were opened, what did it do? The first thing it did was showed us the seventh church age, the bride. And when he showed the bride, Then everything you're reading in the book of Revelations as pertaining to the Gentiles was not talking about Jesus. It's talking about the bride. The Spirit and the bride say, come. The bride has made herself ready. Come, let me show you the bride. That's what happened when the book of Revelation was opened. Not only did it show the bride in the book of Revelation, but it showed us the bride.
Amen.
Now we can see the entire bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it wasn't until this day. Nobody else knows it. Nobody else has a clue about this except for the ones that John showed. Well, remember, John was typing the bride. When the angel came and showed John the bride, what was he doing? He was showing John the bride. That's what the whole book of Revelation is about. The awakening of the bride, the revealing of the Word of God, the showing of the angel to John who typed the bride, the Lamb's wife.
Amen.
Up until this day, we didn't know that. You ask your nominal denominational church who the bride is, they have no clue. You ask them, who's the Lamb's wife? I don't know. You ask them, how many names were revealed under the seventh seal? They don't know. Is it only seven names revealed? And we got it on our board every service. We're showing you, John, the Lamb's wife.
Amen.
Behold, the Lamb's wife.
Amen.
And now John is understanding exactly who's going to be in the rapture. Understanding who's getting up. Because remember, everything that talks about the bride in the book of Revelation, it jumps around. You can't read the book of Revelation like a storybook. It talks about the Revelations 1, 2, 3, building of the bride. Then it jumps around to Revelations 10, the mighty angel coming down, revealing what happened in chapter 2 and 3. Then you go all the way over there and it starts showing you at the end of the book of Revelations about the Lamb's wife. And all those things happen before chapter 4 where she goes in the rapture. You'll never figure this. This is beyond past finding out. It took an angel to show us the Lamb, the bride, the Lamb's wife. And then after chapter 4, it's not even talked about the bride again until she comes back with him. Who knew this? That's why God sent a prophet. That's why God sent a message. That's why God opened the seven seals. That's why God tore the seals off and sent them down his word. That's why God revealed himself to us, because all these things was God bringing an understanding to John of who the Lamb is and his wife. That's why we sit here with this understanding. You're not so smart. You're like John, just as dumb as John was. At one time, John was so dumb, he didn't even know his name was in the book. He thought everything was lost, just like we did. When we got to the hour and we were standing here, we thought, oh my goodness, this world's in a bad shape. The church world don't know what they're doing. The people don't know what they're doing. And then he wept. John wept because he said, nobody's going to be able to open a book and loose the seals. But then he came, that angel came. One step forth, and that was he himself. Because Jesus is the only one who could reveal the book. It wasn't William Branham. People think William Branham opened the seven seals. No, he didn't. Matter of fact, when he was preaching the seals, he said, I would have made a terrible mistake this morning. But the angel of the Lord come into my room and straightened me up. And when he got straight, he said, when the angel speaks, you got to follow the angel. So it wasn't William Branham's revelation of the seven seals. It was Jesus Christ himself. And he opened up those seals. He is those seals. Well, I wanted you all to have those two brothers get up tonight because we were talking about and thinking about it. I said, this is their last chance this year. Because we don't have service next Wednesday. Then we have Brother Rosaldo the following Sunday morning, and we might have Bible study or service Sunday night. But then we have the next Wednesday service canceled. And after that, it's a new year. So it's only fitting that both of the brothers got up tonight. I appreciate that. This is something that has been an amazing year. This has been a year of growth and a year of dedication. Some people fell off this year, but some of us got stronger this year. That's the way it works. But thank God we made it. As Sister Courtney sings, I'm still holding on. But you know what? When I don't hold on, he holds on to me. That's the bigger hold right there. Because sometimes I let go. You ever hold a baby? They're not smart enough to know not to let go. They'll push off of you. And they'll expect that they'll be okay. Sometimes we push off of God. And we think, I want to do my own thing. I want to be my own person. I want to. And we push off. If he didn't hold on to you. So don't be so proud of how good you are. Let's be proud of how good he is. Because God is the one that's good all the time. You know, denomination says God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. That might sound good, but I really mean it. Like we sing that song, I really love the Lord. It's not just words to me. He has been so good to us. And we're going into 2025, and I already got two big things to do. And we ain't even got there yet. So we're going to India, Lord willing, in January, and Africa in July. If the Lord don't come first, and I'm praying he comes first, because then don't have to do none of it. But we're already moving towards 2025, and so we're like, well, Lord, what do you have for us this year? Well, if it starts out like tonight ending, oh, we got some things to do. So stay tuned. Keep your eye on the announcements. I'm sure there'll be some text going out on certain things. And just come prepared. Come on, musicians. Come prepared to do whatever God wants you to do. You know, when Egypt got to a point where they were in total darkness, the children of God were in total light. And when the world got to a place that it's in total darkness, this bride is in total light. We're not guessing anymore. We're not trying to figure this out. We're not trying to make it. I'm not climbing the rough side of the mountain. He has paved a way. He has made a way, and now I'm just enjoying what he has already done. All hail King Jesus. King Jesus in the key of D. We're going to close. Do come back on Sunday morning. And God bless our services for the remainder of the year. Amen. All hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Almighty God. And throughout eternity, forevermore, I will reign.
of Kings, the Lord.